This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and I recently decided to give Sterling Soap Company's Ground Breakfast Blend coffee a try. While brewing, the aroma was inviting, and the taste? Likely sweet and delicious, as the texture of this amazing coffee was sweet and smooth, as I experienced a coffee with a velvety texture, almost creamy. Sterling's breakfast blend is light but in no way weak, with a high quality taste and smell. My wife and I are now hooked on Sterling Soap coffee, and you should be too. Check out their coffees and other products at sterlingsoap.com. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com.
If you think modern football's high-flying, you missed the craziest era of the sport. Welcome back to the Pigpen, where today we're exploring the incredible link between Jim Thorpe and the elite Heisman Trophy winners who dominated the gridiron by drop-kicking long before the forward pass took over. Legends were scoring field goals by bouncing the ball off the turf mid-run. Hit subscribe as we unearth football history behind this extinct skill and how the football's own evolution even killed it and the icons who did it best. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another Tuesday where we get to sit down and have a nice chat with our friend Timothy Brown of FootballArchaeology.com. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, Darren. Good to see you again. It seems like a long time. Probably only 1 week or so. But anyways, yeah, let's get to it. Got to talk about tangentially related to a famous football player and then some Heisman folks.
Yeah, we'll be talking about an article you wrote, Jim Thorpe and the drop-kicking Heisman Trophy winners. And you know, Jim Thorpe just celebrated, we celebrated the date of his birth. He's no longer with us, but just the last week. So we had a nice article on that on pigskindispatch.com and had some fun with remembering Jim Thorpe. And we're going to have a little bit of fun with him today and some other great stars from football legends. So we'd love to hear about your story.
Yeah. Well, before I was just looking at I was thinking about writing a tidbit this morning about that involved Jim Thorpe from a 1908 Carlisle, Minnesota game. But anyways, That's for another day.
Yeah. I'm intrigued already.
Yeah. So, actually this one's, you know, Jim Thorpe really, to my knowledge, doesn't have anything to do with the Heisman. It was just that somebody had, a reader had kind of said, hey, take a look at this film. Or I had stumbled across a film called Always Kicking, which is a pretty bad movie. 1932 movie and, just kind of lots of stereotypical stuff going on. But anyways, at one point it showed Jim Thorpe giving drop kicking demonstrations. I think he kicks two or three, times during the movie. Mm-hmm. So
he's like in a, goes to like a high school or a college team, if I remember correctly. Yeah. He's like demoing. It's an older Jim Thorpe that's kicking.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's 1932, so he's post even playing anything in the NFL. So he, for whatever reason, he's at this college, and it's kind of a dumb story. But anyways, it was just, the point is, it was an opportunity to see Jim Thorpe drop kicking. Now, I don't remember seeing any film of him during his true playing days. I don't remember seeing any film at all of him, but maybe it's out there and I just haven't seen it. For some reason, I was like, well, I wonder who the last Heisman Trophy winner was did any Heisman Trophy winners ever drop kick, because obviously there's the, Doug Flutie doing it as kind of a circus event, him doing it in an NFL game. But back to the real time, Heisman didn't appear until till 35 or 36, whichever one it was. And so it was like, okay, the drop kick was definitely on the downfall by then. The ball had changed and, just place kicking and, snapping was better. Everything about it, it made more sense to place, snap or place kick rather than drop kick. So anyways, I went back and looked, and it's one of those things where there isn't a really efficient way to research something like who was the last Heisman Trophy winner to drop kick. So you kind of have to go through all the guys' names. I stopped in like 1950. I didn't look after that. But each one I have to like search for their name and drop kick and place kick. And so best as I can tell, there were a lot, you know, I mean, look, so like I researched the guys, like starting with Jay Berwinger, who was not a kicker. So some of them didn't kick at all, but you know, Davey O'Brien place kick, Tom Harmon place kick, Frank Sinkwich place kick, Angelo Bertelli, Doc Blanchard, Doak Walker, Vic Janowitz. I mean, all those guys place kicked, including, you know, in college games and NFL games and stuff like that. But as far as I could tell, none of those guys ever drop kicked in a college or NFL game. But the two that I did find, one was Niles Kinnick. So Iowa's Niles Kinnick in 1939. I didn't find a record of him drop kicking a field goal, but he drop kicked 11 of 17 PATs. So, which is, again, one of those things like we think of the PAT as so automatic. But for them, it was still, you know, kind of a chancy thing. You know, you got a big program like Iowa, a guy who's a Heisman Trophy winner, though not so much for his drop kicking, but, you know, it just tells you, we take it for granted that you're going to make it. Right.
Yeah. I mean, isn't it kind of funny and ironic that, you know, back in that era, usually your best athlete on the team was your kicker. He's the one kicking for points. Now we sort of look at it, they might be the worst athletes on the teams that are doing the kicking.
Yeah. That's actually kind of changed. There's enough money in it now that some really fine athletes are kicking now, you know. But to your point, for sure. You know, and a lot of that too, even like, you know, before they had decent long snapping, you know, they'd do the tumble pass, you know, it was basically to the fullback, or and earlier on they'd snap it to the quarterback and he'd pitch it back to the fullback or a halfback, you know. Yeah, so that's who they didn't have. Typically teams didn't have a punter. You know, like even a lot of times he wouldn't even take like an end out of his position. It was one of the backs all the time. So there's Niles Kinnick. And then the other guy was at Minnesota, Bruce Smith, who won the Heisman in 41. He drop kicked two PATs against Washington in the 1940 season. So he wasn't, I'm not sure why he did it in that particular game. Cause he didn't, I don't think he normally was even there. PAT guy. So maybe, you know, injuries or something like that. So anyways, the fifth and seventh Heisman Trophy winners drop kicked in college games. And as far as I can tell, that's it.
So for college, just those two guys, and then Doug Flutie and the pros.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and there's just a lot of, obviously very talented athletes, you know, but most of them were place kicking. But by the time the Heisman rolled around, you know, even those guys were place kicking rather than drop kicking. So it just kind of tells you how quick, you know, I mean, the ball, you know, they redid the ball in 29 and 34. And then the Heisman shows up in 35. So, you know, pretty quickly, drop kicking just started. I mean, based on this evidence, it's not the greatest evidence in the world, but you know, it just kind of tells you it dropped off pretty quick, and most people are place kicking. So
yeah, I mean, do you ever think that maybe I know the ball's a different shape, so it's going to be a lot harder to do, but you know, they were a few years ago, they were looking to try to, you know, in the NFL anyway, to make the extra point be more challenging, so they moved it back, and they, you know, they played around with some of the rules on that a little bit. But do you ever think they would come back and say, hey, we'll give you a 3-point extra point if you drop kick it, or something to challenge it, to spice things up. And I think that'd be kind of neat if they did that.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, I think in general people wouldn't do it, other than in situations where, like, we're down by 9, generally they're, coaches are just going to play it much more conservatively, just because now, I don't remember, maybe when I was 12, I tried drop kicking a football, but I don't remember having done it probably since then. So I don't really have a great sense of how difficult it is, but with today playing on artificial turf and then well-maintained grass fields.
Yeah, it's not too lumpy out there anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Now, in bad weather, if it's snowy or rainy or muddy, then that gets into a different deal. But otherwise, it's going to bounce true. It's just a matter of how much control can you have dropping it, because you still got to drop it. It's got to hit the ball, hit the ground and just, barely come off.
And the timing of your foot hitting it and everything else. Yeah. Maybe when we hang up here, I'll call The Rock up and see if we can get the UFL to get that in. Or usually NFL. And
well, they're the ones. They're going to – it's like a 60-yard field goal is worth like 4 points or something like that, right?
Right, yeah. They seem to be the most innovative lately of trying to –
I don't know if that's innovative or desperate.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of both.
Well, because – and I think it happened a couple times when they first put that in out. I wrote it in a tidbit. It's like, okay, just wait until somebody deliberately loses yardage to get past 60, right? And they did it. It ended up happening, I think, in the first or second week.
The dynamic kickoff, it came from crazy UFL, and they put it in the NFL, and who knows, maybe college will pick it up someday. But
let's hope not.
Yeah. I kind of like it. It's kind of grown on me. I kind of enjoy it. It makes a kickoff in the NFL exciting again. It was getting pretty boring.
Yeah. Well, to each their own, I will say.
All right. Well, but Tim, this is another one of those cases where, Jim Thorpe and Heisman aren't together, but drop kicking is, and you did a lot of research and you found something interesting, an interesting story to talk about and to write about when you first wrote your tidbit. And you do this a lot in your tidbits. So maybe you could share with people where they could pick up on some of your work.
Yeah. Best thing is just go to footballarchaeology.com. It's a Substack site. So you can subscribe, you can follow. If you subscribe, you get an email every time that I publish something new, which hopefully will be tonight. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, bookmark it, search for it, whenever you get a hankering for old football stuff.
All right. Well, Tim, we always have a hankering for old football stuff. So we enjoy you coming here every Tuesday and filling us in on some of what you got going on. And love to talk to you again next Tuesday.
Love to be back. We'll see you soon.
Hi, this is Joe Ziemba, and I'm the host of the podcast When Football Was Football here on the Sports History Network. This podcast is based on stories, events, and characters from my book called When Football Was Football, The Chicago Cardinals and the Birth of the NFL, which was written shortly after the Cardinals won their last championship in 1947, or so it seems. The reason for this message is twofold. First, to share the great news that the second edition of the book has just been released by McFarland Publishers. And all Sports History Network listeners can now enter a special Sports History Network contest for the opportunity to win one of two free copies of When Football Was Football. We'll be happy to include a personal inscription in each winner's book and then send it out to you with our best wishes. The new book contains about 80 more pages than the original, almost all new archival photos, additions within all chapters based on new research, and an update on the players, coaches, and administrators mentioned in the book. It's everything you ever wanted to know about the early Cardinals, as well as the NFL itself. To enter this free giveaway, go to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Thank you.